Hello, gay men. Welcome to Coming Inside Out. I'm your host, Brian James, and I am excited to announce that effective 2 weeks ago, Mark Dembo has joined me as my co-host. So I want to officially welcome you to the show, Mark. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Brian. This is, the last couple episodes that we did. It's just been so much fun and just a great opportunity to have these conversations. I feel like we're doing this and it's good to know that we've got some people listening and we're hearing from listeners and viewers, but it's like we're just getting to sit down and have great conversations. So I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Absolutely. And we've had some great feedback on the last two episodes we've done together. And, I've said this from the beginning. For me, this podcast is a passion project for me. It comes from my heart. I do this because I lived a life in the closet, did not know there was a community of men out there. I didn't know this support was out there. So I love that you're doing this with me. I love the vulnerability that you and I equally share and the passion we have for the people that we're reaching out to and trying to help.
I couldn't agree more. And that's, one of the things just over the last couple of weeks doing this with you and hearing from people that have tuned in or listened. And it's always great when people say, hey, I loved it. But to know that it's helping to give voice to people's challenges and hopefully making a difference. And earlier today, I heard from one of the guys that's in the Gay Fathers Worldwide group that we've become pretty good friends. We talk occasionally, and he reached out to me, and we had about an hour long conversation on the phone. In fact, just before we started recording here today, and I said to him, I said, listen, I said, we're about to record our next podcast. Is it okay if I kind of talk about this? He's been having a really, really difficult time. He came out about 2 years ago and is been completely disenfranchised from his family and from his kids. And he's tried to reach out and they are not talking to him. They're telling him they're not ready to talk to him. His business has been affected because he ran his business out of his home and he's now in a completely, different spot. He wanted to share. He called me. He said, I just need to share what's going on with me and how he's been feeling. I mean, he shared with me that he'd been seriously contemplating taking his life.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to get emotional now. I mean, I literally, Brian, was in tears. Mm-hmm. And I just listened for a good 45 minutes. And I said to him, look, I can't, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not, qualified in that realm. But I said, I'm here. And you've got people here through the group, through support to just, if you just need to listen, have somebody listen, and you need to talk, we're here. And that is what, for me, like being able to do this podcast and have these conversations, if it helps people that are going through this journey, everybody's situation is unique, but there are similarities for those of us that have come out later in life, that have been married, that have kids, that there's just this shared understanding.
Yes.
And to be able to be there for each other is just incredible. And that's really, it's powerful when we know that we can be helping to have that voice for people.
Yeah, that's been one of the blessings of this show. When this show first took off in May of last year, I was just delightfully overwhelmed at the outreach from the people that I had no idea were going to be touched by the show or the content of the show. So. Yeah. I love that people are reaching out. I love that people are equally being vulnerable with us and sharing their process. You talked to me about your conversation with this gentleman, and I have shared my own depression and my dark thoughts after coming out. So it touches me too, knowing that this person is out there and feeling the way that they're feeling they're not alone. My goodness.
Yeah.
They're not alone.
Yeah. And for anybody that does feel alone, know that you're not.
Yeah.
And that's important, you know, and I think we talked a little bit last time about, you know, the whole idea of chosen family and community, and it's so important. And no, we may not all have the answers, you know. It's like, I don't have all the answers. We're searching every day. But again, sometimes it's just about, as my friend said to me, he said, I just need to know that I'm seen and heard. And that's just so important.
Yeah. I think any of the men I have met in our group, complete strangers, the moment I meet them, I just feel like we have this connection, this unspoken connection bond. The conversations are deep. They're rich. They're just so authentic.
Yeah.
And it's nothing that I had previously in my life. So what I'd like to first mention is our Facebook page. It's not something that we've spoken a lot about or promoted, but Coming Inside Out does have a Facebook page. You joined, you invited a bunch of people. It boosted the number of members on the page. It started some great conversations, new members. So I just want to put it out there that Gay Fathers Worldwide, obviously you're a gay dad to be a member of that group. But the Coming Inside Out page, there's women on there as well as men, and not everybody on there has children. So it's just a place for anybody who's exploring their sexuality, who's questioning their sexuality, who wants to get on there, post. We encourage that. So please join the page.
Yeah. And you know, kind of picking up on that, there were some comments after our last episode where we were talking about some of the things happening currently in the political world, and really appreciate the thoughtfulness of the comments. We did get a couple of people there that and also via email received some notes from somebody. Both of these people, conservative Republicans, gay. Gay dads. And I really want to acknowledge the courage to reach out. And, you know, they both expressed how difficult and scary it can feel for them as conservative Republicans in today's world within the LGBTQ plus community. You know, one of the individuals said that he feels that it's more terrifying than coming out in terms of telling people that he's a Republican.
But I believe his comment also was he feels like he's being pushed. It's like being pushed back into the closet.
Back into the closet. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He did mention that. And yeah, he talked about being pushed out of social spaces for not aligning with progressive politics. I just, you know, have some of the notes here. And he did say people need to be civil and respectful, and that it's not something he's experienced when it comes to gay men and politics. And I think I want to, again, acknowledge it and say to this individual that we do hear you and we respect the vulnerability that it takes to share those feelings. And that's what a lot of this is about, right? Being able to be vulnerable in these spaces. And I agree, you know, if we want our community, the gay community, however you want to define that, to be truly inclusive, that does mean there's got to be space for political diversity, civil discourse, right?
Well, it should be, but it feels like polar opposites at this point. It's almost like Christianity and the LGBTQ community, they feel like polar opposites. So yes, a safe space for all gay people, to have the freedom to express themselves and feel included. At the exact same time, those, it feels like polar opposites when you're thinking of the Republican Party right
now. And there's definitely a big dichotomy there. And I think, you know, kind of as I've been thinking about this, and again, I really do appreciate people being able to express their views and how they feel. And it is unfortunate that anybody should feel that they're being pushed back into the closet because of their views. But at the same time, I don't think we can shy away from the real and immediate threats that are facing the LGBTQ plus community at this time, and especially trans people. And Unfortunately, the facts are those threats are largely coming from the current administration.
Yes.
And that also, that administration has now really defined what the Republican Party is. So
yes,
there is a dichotomy there. And I also want to, again, acknowledge that yeah, there's room for different views, and people should be able to express their views differently and not feel like they're being shut out, but also know that, yeah, there is a big diversity of views here, and we're not going to agree on those things.
Yeah. You had sent me a link to something regarding the Republican Party, 9 states proposed measures to undermine same-sex marriage mm-hmm. rights. An additional 4 states want to introduce a bill where they consider marriage a coveted marriage, which is only between one man and one woman. They want to abolish same-sex marriage. They want to, it's going to take away so many of our rights. So it's hard to overlook.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think we need to continue to hold that space though, right? For, you know, some of these differing views and respect that, okay, we don't have to agree on it. And let's come back to the point of we can still be respectful of those whose views may be different than ours.
Okay, but are there even when we vehemently disagree? Are there different views, or is there a view in favor of dismantling the LGBTQ plus community? Are there views in agreement with the hate that's being thrown at the trans community right now? Do their views include wanting to get rid of same-sex marriage? I mean, because that's what they're standing up.
In many ways, they're aiding and abetting, if you yes. will, right?
Oh, I like
turning,
that. Okay.
turning a blind eye. And yeah, I don't think you can stand behind the fact that, well, Trump has, you know, 2 openly gay men in his cabinet. Well, okay, that may be the case, but what are they standing up for? And if they're yes. standing up for policies that are erasing the community, you know, removal of diversity, equity, inclusion, removal of references to LGBTQ, and certainly removal of references to trans people
yes.
across government websites, cutting off of funding for programs that are important for the community. I just hope that those who have differing views can look at that and say, is this truly what we want in our community?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when this gentleman posted and it came in for admin approval, I took mm-hmm. a deep breath because I read mm-hmm. it, and I kind of have this knee-jerk reaction when mm-hmm. I see somebody in support of Trump or the Republican Party. And I thought, all right. And then I was very happy to see that you had already approved the post. And let me tell you, you set a tone. Your response was amazing, because when I originally saw his post, I thought, he's going to get eaten alive putting this out there. And then I saw your post, and there was another gentleman that posted yeah. it, and I thought, okay, this is a small group of, you know, it's, I think we have 150 people on the page as of right now, but these are intelligent people.
Yeah.
And the posts that followed his were actually well-written. They weren't hateful.
Yeah.
They didn't spew. I was worried that, you know, the page really is about love and support, and I was worried that it was going to take a different turn.
Yeah.
So I think you set the tone with your first response. Well, so thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that the responses, you know, have been very, very respectful, and I encourage that. I hope that this discussion we're having right now will generate more discussion, because that's how we, you know, truly come to an understanding. You know, you can come to an understanding of somebody else's views. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. But if we want to take a stance for making change and a positive change, you've got to be able to understand opposing views. I know we talked a little bit about that last time, and having those conversations in a respectful way is really key. Yeah.
I mean, the shirt that you're wearing demonstrates mm-hmm. very strongly what your views are.
Yes, it does.
Correct?
Yes, it does.
They're going to be walking down the street as a Republican wearing
not
that
quite
shirt.
As, you know, I'm not, it's not quite as explicit as the shirt I was wearing the last episode.
Yes, but yes, still, it speaks volumes to where you stand.
I feel like I'm going to have to keep getting, you know, new shirts because, you know,
each episode. Oh my God. That's a good idea. And you know what? Maybe there'll be a tax write-off, huh?
You know, there we go.
Right. That's so funny.
Well, they're pretty much dismantling the IRS, so it may not matter.
Yeah. You know, it's true. That's true. You
know? And you know, I wanted to just, you know, while we're kind of on this topic of differing views, I think I shared with you a column, a newsletter that my good friend Jim Fielding wrote last week. Jim is an incredible individual. I've gotten to know him a bit. And for anybody that wants to follow some of Jim's work, Jim Fielding, he writes what he calls his field notes, and he's very active on social media. And he wrote earlier this week about the choice we're all facing, and talking about, you know, people, the number of people that we've heard about, you know, moving out of the U.S. and kind of get out of here while you still can. And he really, you know, he talks about affluent gay men, especially white gay men over 50, looking to take advantage of golden visa programs and get out of Dodge, as they say. But he really kind of comes back and says, you know, it's really important that we don't do that, and that we've got to be able to do things in our local community. Now is the time. The LGBTQ plus community would not have made the progress to be where the community is today had people not gotten out there and fought and resisted. And we need to do that more than ever, in whatever small way. Mm-hmm. You can. It doesn't mean you've got to be out there protesting every single week, but it's just be a voice in your community, talk to people, get out there, donate to LGBTQ local candidates where you can, right? Support youth that are struggling. These are little things that we can all do, and it's more important than ever that we do those things.
Yeah. And I think it's also important because there's so many different topics, and, you know, I think people are getting they're not getting worn out, but they're getting maybe sensory overload with everything that's happening. And pick a couple of topics, pick a couple of things that you want to stand up for, or you want to stay on top of. I think it's too much to try and stay on top of everything that's coming at us from so many different directions. So there's something you're passionate about. Choose that to focus on. Choose that to be a voice for. Choose that to speak out against. Because I mean, I can't speak out for everything that I see. And it's overwhelming. I get overwhelmed just trying to keep my children abreast of all the things that are happening in our community mm-hmm. right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I did print that article, and we can put a link to that in the show notes. So if anybody wants to go back and read it, and it was The Privilege of Difficult Choices, Fight or Flight. Our community mm-hmm. needs us to gather, resist, and support. So, yeah, I read that. I thought that was a great article also.
Yeah.
And I'll just take a moment to share that you posted on your LinkedIn page from Suppressing to Leading, The Journey to Wholeness by Mark Dembo. I read that. I thought that was great. So again, anybody who wants to go and read that, we can post a link to that also. I read this to my son. I thought, wow.
Oh, wow.
Because my co-host wrote this, and I thought it was perfect. And then you had your 5 takeaways on there also. To apply to leadership. I thought those were fantastic. And I thought, oh, you know, currently I'm looking for a job. And I thought, oh, this is something that I would put on, I guess, my talking points when I'm interviewing. So, yeah.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. And yeah, we can certainly post the link to that. Because one of the things for me in part of the coming out journey has really been, and I think for so many of us is it's more than just the coming out. It's it's, I'll call it kind of the transcendence, that suddenly being able to live a life that you were hiding for so long has the effect of impacting everything in your life. And that includes your professional life. Yeah. And for me, one of the key lessons has been about, as a leader of working with other people, it's bringing your whole self into what you do and not hiding who you are, and being that it's okay to be vulnerable as a leader. And even, and it doesn't have to do anything directly with, you know, your sexual identity in the workplace, but just about who you are and how you show up.
Yes.
And it just really has such an impact.
Yeah. And showing up is so much bigger than how you showed up before, because you're showing up as your whole self.
Exactly.
Whereas before, that's exactly, you were showing up as a portion of you.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, I thought your takeaways for leadership, I thought those were spot on. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So we'll post a link to that also. What else you got, Mark?
So what else? So I just wanted to share, last night, we had a nice gathering of a bunch of gay dads, gay fathers in New York City. We had a really, really nice time. And I think, again, that's just, I think about the community and just being able to be out and share our stories and just be with others. It was so wonderful. Just to share and to all be ourselves and laugh and have a few drinks and be out in Greenwich Village and really feel like you're part of that community. It's just such a powerful, again, powerful feeling of being who we are. And it was great. Yeah,
I agree. And listen, if you have any photos that you want to share, you can post those on the YouTube page. Anybody who wants to go and see those, if you feel like posting those, we can put those out there also. Here's something I wanted to talk to you about. I believe in our very first episode, we were talking about living before coming out as closeted men. And a lot of times we speak to that as lying. We were lying about who we were. We were lying to our spouses. We were lying to our family. You know, lying is a big word when talking about how we lived in our closeted lives. And you had said something about hiding.
Yeah.
And I think we need to put that out there also, that not every person that's coming out that has been living a closeted life has been living a life of lying.
Yeah.
Some of us lived a life of hiding.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that is the vast majority of men who come out later. I think there's very few who are actively lying about who they are. I don't know if you're familiar with Joe Court. He's a psychologist. He is gay. And he works a lot with married couples, who men, usually men, not always, it could be, you know, it could be women who come out later in life. And he talks about that. He says exactly that most, you know, trying for, especially for the spouse of the person who comes out to understand what's going on, he says, you know, it's they're not lying. We're not actively lying. It really is about that hiding, that suppressing of who we are. For most of us, I would guess, very few of us felt like we were living a lie. But when you do fully come out, you realize how much, again, you were hiding, suppressing, not being truly who you were and who you are.
So for about 5 years, I have felt, since coming out, that I had lived a life of lying. And when you view it as a life of lying, it attaches a lot of shame and guilt to that.
Mm-hmm.
When you just simply change the word from lying to hiding, I think it eliminates a lot of that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to point that out and to give it a different name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because, you know, because lying implies deception, purposeful deception.
Yes. And I think that there's a number of people in the that, yes, that was what they were doing, but not everybody.
Not everybody. And I don't think that is the majority of situations.
Yeah.
Or it
wasn't the intent.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a more personal question, because I think you also shared in the first episode that you are going to be moving out on your own soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have been living with your wife and your family for how many years?
Over 30 years.
Over 30 years. All right. Yeah. I went from living with my parents to moving in with my girlfriend, who then became my wife. Mm-hmm. And when she and I separated, I shared this last year that my first time living on my own was at the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had moved out. Bed Bath & Beyond was still a thing. I think that they're all gone now, but Bed Bath & Beyond was a thing. And I had a shopping cart and like almost a zombie and just this, just like totally disconnected state. I was pushing the shopping cart around the store and it was just overflowing with silverware and spatulas and glasses and just like towels and just all of this stuff. And I was just like mindlessly just like wandering through the store. What do I need? What do I need? What do I need? And I saw another gentleman who also had a shopping cart that was just chucked full of all of this stuff. And I looked at him and I thought, oh my God, he is probably going through the exact same thing I am going through at this moment. I didn't talk to him, but I just, when you shared with me a couple of weeks ago that you were going to be moving out, it just brought up so many feelings for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember that. Listen, you'll probably be able to share that experience in real time with a lot of people who have written into the show and shared they're separating from their wives, they're moving out, to go separate ways. So
it's coming up, and I've got my running list of all the things that I'm gonna need, and there's a lot of mixed emotions with all of it. There really are. For me, it'll be the first time living on my own since I was in my early 20s. So it's going to be quite a change, but again, it's all part of the process, and there's excitement, there's fear, there's sadness. And sometimes all of it at the same time.
Yes.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Wow. All right. Well, that's a big step for you. Something you shared with me, in a phone conversation, I believe I had shared on the podcast about a site called TUT.com a morning affirmation that you wake up to.
Yeah.
And you shared something with me that I hadn't thought of before, but you used ChatGPT to do a daily affirmation for you. Walk me through that.
I've shared a lot with ChatGPT about my situation. And I said, hey, can you create a daily motivational affirmation for me? And so now I've got a post on ChatGPT, and it's set for every morning at 7 a.m. I open it up and I say, good morning. And it says, hey, Mark, here's your affirmation for the day. And I've asked it to include, you know, some of the people that I follow, people like Brené Brown, and it will kind of weave in. And I'm also a big believer in mindfulness, meditation, and
I pull
a lot of things from Buddhism into my own spiritual beliefs. And it will weave that in and give me a really very on the money, personalized message to start the day. And so for anybody that's using or experimenting with various AI tools, you may want to, you know, check it out. It really is a nice way to be able to create something that's very personalized. It doesn't take away from talking with people. And I actually now subscribe to the TUT daily.
Okay. All right.
Inspirational.
I love that
passage as well. Yeah, it's great. It's nice.
First thing I open my phone. I don't go through emails and text messages and all that stuff, but I definitely look for that, scroll, find that, read it.
Yeah.
And I take my dog for a walk and I just sit in that for about an hour as I'm walking my dog. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do that. I mean, I've long been a meditator and I do that every morning. I take about 10, 15 minutes and do a meditation in the morning and I'll look at my ChatGPT affirmation and just really to me kind of having that quiet time in the morning, just it helps set the tone for the day and just reminds me constantly, right? I take that into my day that there's going to be good things, there's going to be bad things, difficult things, and just be in the moment where you are right now. Doesn't mean that everything's always great, but it's even when things are not great to be able to say, this is the way things are right now. And that grounding I find really, really helps me a lot.
Me too. Very much. Oh, I love that. All right. And I'm kind of going through the list of things that we have said were going to be our talking points. So if you want to interrupt me and go through something and throw something else in, go ahead. I wanted to take a moment to let our community know that we are here to support them and their businesses also. So if you want to write into the podcast, if you coming inside out at gmail.com, if there's something that you would like Mark and I to bring to light for you, I encourage you to write in. Someone had posted on our Facebook page that he wrote a book. It's called Glowing Up Gay, Curious Journey of Discovery. Coming out in his 40s after being married to his wife. And I thought, oh, this, you know what? I want to promote this within our community. So I highly encourage people to write in and let us know. At the exact same time that you write in, if you have something that you want us to promote, if you have something you want us to talk about, you know, political issues are a hot topic right now. If there's something else that someone had written in couple months ago about they didn't know where they should be shopping and where they shouldn't be shopping, what they should be avoiding, what they shouldn't be avoiding. Now, we don't want to direct people as to what they should do, but if someone wants to write in with their thoughts, you know, that they have found helpful for them during this time, you know, write in and we'd be happy to share that also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to, again, it comes back to supporting each other, supporting the community, and being there for everybody.
And then you, a couple months ago, I think, went on a little Gay Father's Weekend getaway to Wilton Manor in Florida.
Yes, we did.
I'd never heard of it until you posted that you had done that. But then I saw, I think it was on TikTok, there's a TikTok page. It's called Hot Daddy Pickleball. And there's evidently a lot of pickleball courts at Wilton Manor in Florida. And it's all of these daddies playing pickleball. So
I'll have to check. I have not seen that. I'll have to check that out.
It's okay, a great page. Yeah. And I thought, okay, one of these days I need to get myself to Wilton Manor and play pickleball there
Wilton
with all
Manor's
these other dads.
Great. We had a phenomenal time. I mean, it's essentially the gayborhood, if you will, of Fort Lauderdale. It's and very, very welcoming. It's got a great strip with lots of restaurants and clubs and you know, several resorts, guest houses that really cater to the gay community. So it's it was really a nice time. There were four of us from gay dads that came together from all different parts of the country. In fact, we had all, you know, all met in person at the Saugatuck gathering last fall, and then a few of us were just chatting online saying, hey, we need a winter getaway, right? And it was really, really a nice getaway. We also had beautiful, perfect weather the whole time we were there. So that,
didn't hurt. All right.
Yeah.
I saw that Gay Fathers Worldwide posted the dates for their this coming Saga Talk weekend. So that's nice too. So hopefully we can do a podcast while we're there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I think we have to. Yes.
Okay. That sounds like a good indeed. Idea.
Maybe we'll do some live streaming.
We can't. So this equipment, it has a live streaming component to it. So yes, we can do live streaming. Yeah, that would be great. You had put as one of the talking points, what does it mean to be gay? How do you express yourself differently since coming out? And what is still difficult?
I missed the last part of what you just said.
Oh, how do you express yourself differently since coming out? And what is still difficult? Those were a couple of the bullet points that you put on there. So, okay, let's talk about that. What does it mean for you to be gay?
Well, you know, I think we've talked, I mean, for me, as we've talked a bit about, it's about the not hiding, right? It's about being able to fully express who I am. And, you know, some of it is being able to say, hey, I can wear a shirt like this and be proud of that and want to express myself in that way, or wearing, you know, a pride bracelet here and being able to express who I am. So, I mean, not necessarily over the top, but enough that says a message of, hey, I'm part of this community and I want to be and I'm proud to be, you know, part of that community. How about for you, Brian?
For me, what does it mean? You know, it's a freedom to be myself. It's a freedom in which I'm not making myself bad or wrong. Because for so many years, I walked around with blinders on because I would be out in public. And, you know, through my peripheral vision, I would see somebody. And I would want to look, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would want to admire, but I wouldn't allow myself to. And I felt like I walked through life with such a narrow vision. And when I came out as gay, all of a sudden I had like this 365 degree view on life. And if I saw somebody walking by, and for me, it doesn't have to just be sexual, but I was suppressing my sexuality. So for me, when I see somebody walking by, I now have the freedom, not inappropriately, but appropriately.
Within reason.
To appreciate what I see. So it gives me an appreciation for allowing myself the freedom from the inside. And that's part of, you know, what my coming inside out title was like. From the inside, I'm allowing myself that I have denied myself forever.
Yes. Yes.
It allows me, we talked about a little bit about humor, but, you know, my friend group that is not my gay group, that are my neighbors and friends, married couples or whatever, it allows me the freedom to joke with them, for them to joke with me. It opens the door to a lot more conversation with them, allows myself to express my desires to these people that I would never have done before. I don't know. It just, what has done for me the most is just this 365 degree view, when I really only had maybe a 60 degree view that I was walking through life before.
I love that. Just like the walking down the street and if I see some guy that I might think is attractive, as you said, not inappropriately.
Yes.
But to be able to look and not feel like, oh, I can't look.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you do look at somebody and you get a knowing glance back, right? I've gotten that a few times. And that's really nice. And I love you talked about kind of the ability to joke. Where I can even joke around like with my kids, and we'll make I'm trying to remember the exact thing, but the other day my daughter said something about getting something out of the closet, and she made the joke about, and then I'm forgetting the specifics of what she said, but, you know, I said something that had some, you know, overtone to it. And she said, well, you walked right into that one, and we were able to laugh about it, you know,
yes.
And it was just really nice to be able to do that and just yes. have it be out in the open. Yeah.
I agree with that. What do you still find difficult?
Still integrating a lot of what it means into just day-to-day life and learning every day, going through the process where I am right now of still in the, you know, process of moving out and starting to lead a separate life, and knowing that there are other people that it affects, people I care and love deeply. That's still difficult. I don't know that that will ever completely go away, but that's still really difficult, and navigating that every day, because I do care about my kids. I do care and love my wife, and recognizing that what we are dealing with is, in many ways, what I think about is an expansion of who we are. It's not a pushing away or a cutting out of a life that had been, but how do you find the room for all of that? And when the guilt creeps in, to be able to deal with that in a way that it doesn't become devastating. I mean, it's like, I don't know that I can ever say, will that ever go away completely? Probably not. I think it's just part of the fabric of our lives, but to know that it's all okay. And I think that, you know, for me, it's that's still hard. That can be really hard.
Yeah. I get that too.
Yeah.
I get that. For me, there's this component of loneliness that has crept in. And it is, and when I say loneliness, I don't know that, and I think I've shared this a little bit in prior episodes, maybe that's the wrong word to use. I don't know, because there's never a time where I'm truly alone. I have my kids, I have my dog, I have friends, I have, you know, I have people around me, but there's this part of me that has such a desire for a connection with my ex-wife. She and I had a vibration, an energy.
Yeah.
Our bodies communicated with one another, even when we weren't speaking. You live in that vibration with this person yes. for 30 years.
Yeah.
And yeah. when you separate and now you're living 2 miles away, it's almost like when people lose a spouse at a late age, mm-hmm. when your bodies have been vibrating off of each other for yeah. so many years, and that is all of a sudden severed.
Yes.
It's this achingness in my chest that won't go away. It's mm-hmm. this sending out a signal and not receiving a signal back. So yeah. that is kind of where I have been for the last 5 years. I've been waiting for that to heal. I've been waiting for that to subside. For me, it hasn't. And maybe part of my problem is I've wanted to replace that with somebody, and I haven't met somebody. And I think that's for a reason also. I think everything happens for a reason, but I don't know what that reason is for me. I feel like I have a lot of love. I have a lot of kindness. I have a lot of goodness in me that I'd like to share with another person. Because I think I had a good relationship with my ex-wife, that we shared a lot. We both grew a lot in our relationship. We both added value to our relationship. And I would like to enrich my life and somebody else's life at the same time, but that feels missing to me. So that's yeah. a difficult part of this process for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
TMI? I don't know.
What's that?
Is that TMI?
No, hey, that's what we're here for. That is what we are here for. It's to share all sides of this, and that's being able to share that is part of the journey, and part of being able to be vulnerable and putting that out there. right? How do you deal with that on a day-to-day basis?
I don't. I try and stay one step ahead of it, to be honest with you. I try and stay active. I recently, you know, in our prior episodes, I'm so glad my facial hair is coming back. I'm not dodging your question, but I had gone on a job interview and somebody had said to me, you may look younger, because I'm 56, you may look younger if you shave your gray facial hair. And I thought, oh, I've had my goatee since I was 26 years old. It's like, all right, I'll shave it. And so I shaved it. And then you and I did the recording and I was like, oh my God, my face was so naked. Part of it is, you know, I'm deciding to put myself out there more. I think, you know, looking for a job, just creating more newness in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have isolated. I've, you know, been an independent contractor in real estate, so I can be out of my house as much as I want to be, or in my house as much as I want to be. Just encouraging myself to get out of the house, get out of my mind, get out of my own way. But it's hard. It's been really a difficult process for me because I do feel like I am a relationship oriented person, and I'm not a enabler, and I don't, it's not something, you know, that I have to have in order to exist, because I've been surviving for almost 6 years on my own. But it's something I definitely miss. It feels like a void for me.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time with it. I think I'm my own worst enemy. I talk to my friends and they tell me, oh, you beat up on yourself so much, Brian. It's like, give yourself a break. So I have a hard time with it. It's been a constant struggle.
One of the things that I've had a number of people say to me, and I try and remind myself of, is exactly it. Give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
Cut yourself some slack, right?
Yes. Yes.
And also, as I said to my friend this morning that we were talking about at the start of the episode here today, it can be so daunting when we try and think about everything, right? Where focus on what's the next thing, not how do I get from here to all the way to there. I mean, it's okay to know that, okay, this is kind of the goal or the I don't want to say the goal or the end point, because there never is an end point. It's always moving.
Yeah.
It's about the journey. And what's that next step in the journey that I can take? What's within my control? What can I do next? Or is my friend Jim Fielding, who we were talking about earlier, and he wrote a great book, and we might want to put that in the show notes as well, called All Pride, No Ego, about being a gay leader. And one of his lessons is control the controllable and forget about the rest. I may not be getting the exact words right, but that's, you know, kind of the message is focus on what's within your control, right? And the rest of it is just can be wasted energy.
I wrote here, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Right? Yeah. We're toward the end of this episode, but I wanted to take a couple minutes. You were invited to be on a podcast. So let's talk about that for a couple minutes and promote that, because I'd never heard of this gentleman and his podcast.
Yeah, well, before, we can talk more about that once we know when that will be live. But many of you may know Rick Clemens. Very well known within the LGBTQ, within the gay community. He has a podcast for men over 40. And also, like many of us, Rick also is somebody who came out later in life, had been married, has kids. And so his podcast, 40 Plus Gay Men, Gay Talk, I've gotten to know Rick a little bit, and he heard our podcast together and reached out and invited me to be on. So we'll be recording that in a few weeks. And I'm excited to be able to join him on his podcast.
All right. I'm excited to listen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just take a moment to thank our listeners. Again, if you would like to write into the show, comingsideout at gmail.com. Anything else you'd like to add?
We've covered a lot of ground today.
Yes, we have.
Everybody keep going one day at a time, one step at a time. And thanks for listening.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you guys. Bye.